But I had to stand up for what I believed in and not fall victim to the pressure. And it's easy to do when you're surrounded by people that have known you and have loved you for a long time. We all have weaknesses, we all have temptations, and we will also face moments in our faith where we have to take a stand against things that try to hinder where God desires us to be. The only way we can live a God-honoring life is by taking a stand. In Acts chapter 4, we see some men who can take a stand for faith in Christ. Peter and John stand up for Christ. Through God's power, they healed a man. When we look at that clip, the man that came in at the very end was the cripple that was at the temple gate. The Sadducees, the religious people of the time, didn't like this or the message they were preaching. So they arrested Peter and they arrested John and put them on trial. But during the trial, the court realized they had no legal right to keep them. Before they let Peter and John go, they threatened them. They beat them. So I want to read it again and listen to Peter and John's response. Again, Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." The religious men told Peter and John to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They told them to bow down, denounce their faith in Christ. They told them to stop living out the very purpose of their being. And in this moment, after just being arrested, Peter and John stood up for Christ. Even though they were facing threats, they took a stand and told the leaders they would keep preaching and teaching Christ. That was bold at that time. They were facing death. In life, we may face people or things that try to get us to stop living for Christ. This could be caused by temptation from the evil one, a relationship that you're in, a family member, a job, an old friend from high school, or even a tragic and unexpected event. This is why Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Paul wouldn't use the language if we weren't going to face opposition, people, places, and things that will try to get us to back down instead of to stand up. Peter and John faced major opposition. They were arrested, put in prison, and threatened, but they continued to stand for Christ. So we want to look at what happened with them in Acts 4 and see how we can learn to stand for Christ no matter what life throws at us. So I'm going to give you three truths today to help you stand firm in your faith when life comes at you at full force. First one is this: remember that Jesus is our foundation. You know, when we sang this morning, Cornerstone, you know, Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. And we've talked about that frequently over the past few weeks. In Acts 4, we see Peter and John take a strong stand for Christ in the face of people who wanted to throw them in prison and even destroy their lives. One key reason Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Their lives were built on the solid rock of Christ. No sinking sand, right? The solid foundation. So let's go back a bit. If we back up a little bit in chapter 4, beginning in verses 8 through 12, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we talked about that last week, right? How being filled with the Holy Spirit emboldens us to be able to profess Christ and do the thing that God has called us to do. Well, it says he's emboldened, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's pretty bold. Peter believed that Jesus is the cornerstone. He was quoting other scripture. And Jesus was his everything. Jesus was his foundation. They were walking and talking in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing that they did was under their own power or their own authority. Everything that they did fell under the authority of Christ, and Christ is their foundation. They knew that salvation was found in no one else. Their lives were all about Jesus. He was their sure foundation. So when Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what we face in life, we have a firm foundation to stand on. We can stand on him, stand for him. We can walk in his strength, talk in his strength, and live in his strength. Everything that we are and do is all about him. We all face trouble. We all face opposition. But we can take a stand when we make Jesus our foundation. Jesus is a cornerstone and foundation that will never crack or grow weary. He's the cornerstone that makes a solid foundation for us to stand on 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. When the storms of life come, Jesus is our firm foundation. So just like Peter and John, we must make Jesus our foundation, the cornerstone we build our life on. All right, number two. We have to obey God in the midst of opposition. Facing opposition is not an if, but more of a when, right? Depending on the season of our life and what we're going through, opposition is going to come. It's not an if, but it's a when. So it means that we will have many opportunities to obey or disobey. God hasn't called us just to believe. Right? Our faith has to be vibrant. It has to be active. It has to be alive. A faith that we actually live out day to day to day. Peter and John had a vibrant, active faith. So let's look again. This is chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and I'm going to read it again. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him?" This came down to whether Peter and John would stand and obey God or bow down and give in to their fears. Really, logically, everything that they were coming up against, if they just operated in the flesh and operated in how they felt as human beings in their human nature, they would probably be more quiet. Maybe they'd be less pronounced. Maybe they'd be less bold. But they were all in, right? They were all in for Jesus no matter the cost. Last summer, there was some opposition that came up to things that I believe that God was calling us to do here as a church. And it would have been easy to fall back and say, "I quit." And honestly, Tom can probably attest to the fact that I wanted to quit. Because when you're under attack and under a personal attack, your character's being condemned, a lot of things that come up against you, and that opposition comes up and rears its head like that, sometimes you want to quit. And there was part of me that wanted to quit. I said, "I just want to go back and be a worship leader at another church. I want to quit." But where's Xander's downstairs? So Tom says to me in the middle of that, he goes, "Mary, but where would Xander go to church?" And I bawled like a baby. We have to stand up for what we believe in, and it's not always easy. I'm thankful for people that pray no matter what, to pray through situations so that you get to the other side. It's easy to fall into a trap where we know a lot but do little with what we know, especially in the face of opposition. Peter and John not only listened to God, but they also obeyed and did what God told them to do at the risk of their own lives. To stand firm in our faith, we have to do what James tells us. He says we can't just be hearers of the word, but doers, right? We also must be doers of the word, regardless of the opposition we face. That's in James chapter 1, verse 22. We must put feet to the faith and keep walking even though the valley of the shadow of death surrounds us. We must keep walking through the rough terrain of the mountains of life. And we must keep walking when the storms of life come against us. One of the main challenges to obeying God in the midst of opposition is that we can begin to wonder about the outcome. Will God help us? Will God come through in the way that we hope he will? Will we have to suffer for standing firm? So we know that if God doesn't show up the way that we want him to, this could get real ugly really quick. Sometimes that happens. Oftentimes we have to battle our flesh and common sense to stand firm. For Peter and John, common sense would have been to keep a little quieter, like I said before, about Jesus, so that they weren't thrown in prison, they weren't beaten, or even worse, killed. Our flesh tells us to back up, to back down. Our flesh says, go with the crowd, be popular, don't ruffle any feathers. But a major part of obeying God is standing firm and trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. So you're going to like this one. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen? We trust in the Lord. If we know that we are following God's will and following after him and doing what he's called us to do, we have to trust in the Lord and not in our own understanding. In our own mind, we might view things and say, this isn't right. I don't want to be doing this. Why am I putting myself at risk? Why am I putting my family at risk? Because our mind, sometimes, it defeats us, right? Instead of having every thought captive to Christ, if every thought is captive to Christ, then we understand that what we're doing has kingdom ramifications, and we move forward in the power of that first and not defeating ourselves first with our minds. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. Living for Christ isn't always easy. We will face opposition. But we must obey God in the midst of opposition and stand firm because he's worthy. Amen? Because he died for us, we at least, the least thing that we can do for him is live for him. We must take a stand by being obedient. And number three, when we stand for Jesus, he shines through us. It's powerful to watch what happens when Peter and John stand firm in their faith. If we go back to verse 4 in chapter 4, it says, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to be about 5,000. Okay? We talked about this last week, too, where the power of Pentecost came, and the same man that denied Christ three times, that ran from the crowds, they all hid. They were all afraid, but the power of Pentecost comes, I'm chattering. The Holy Spirit comes, and they have the power to go forth and preach boldly. And Peter stands up and not only preaches Christ crucified, but starts going, and you were the ones that did it. And yet people are cut to the quick. Their hearts are rendered so that they're softened to hear the good news of Christ. And they come to believe and follow. 5,000 added. Because they stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believed. Many people were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. Because two men stood firm in their faith in the face of opposition. Two men. Look around the room. If those two men didn't stand for what they believed in, would you be here today? Two people can make eternal consequences. One person. It's exciting, isn't it? Two of you together. And you can go generations down the line and say, look what we've done. Look what God has done through us because we were faithful, because we were obedient. We did what God called us to do. You guys, you young people, keep doing. You're having an effect on the people around you. Your friend has seen the light of Christ in your life. It's a beautiful thing. Keep doing that because as we continue to live for Christ and he shines through us, as we are bold to profess our faith in him. When we stand, people see Jesus in us, and God will use our boldness to bring people into relationship with him. These men stood firm in their faith, and the number of men grew to 5,000. Powerful things happen when we stand firm. When we stand firm in our faith, God will use our resolve to do immeasurably more than what we could think or imagine. All right, here's another passage that shows the way that God shines through us when we stand for him. This is Acts 4, verse 13 now. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. There was something about being with Jesus that changed them. Being with Jesus, taking that time to be in the presence of God, changes us. So it doesn't matter. You know, the word tells us that he's no respecter of persons, so it doesn't matter that they were unschooled. It doesn't matter that they were fishermen. But the time that they spent with Jesus had such an effect on the people that saw them. We also see that people who hadn't yet crossed the line of faith were amazed and astonished by their courage and boldness. People who didn't even know Jesus were impacted by the gospel through the lives of two men who stood firm. The seed of the gospel was planted into the hearts of unbelievers because two men took a stand. It's probably safe to say that some of these people ended up accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it all began because of the boldness of two men who came under attack. We must stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ because every time we do, the seed of the gospel is planted into hearts. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how everybody wants a miracle, but nobody really wants to go through the stuff that brings a miracle. To make an impact, sometimes we have to go through opposition. We have to see the opposition and break through that opposition to make an impact for the cause of Christ. When we stand firm, we're standing on the cornerstone and Jesus is shining brightly through our lives. Our courage will encourage and astonish people as we point them to Jesus by standing firm on the foundation of Christ Jesus. When we stand for him, he will also shine through our conversation and our words. Acts 4:31 says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we stand firm and when we pray, the power of God is released upon our lives in a powerful way. God's power then gives us the courage to speak the word of God boldly. So I encourage you to stand firm in your faith and watch Jesus shine through your words and your life. All right, lastly, notice what happens. This is the end, towards the end of the chapter, Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So when we stand firm for God and pray to him, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to stand together and let our light shine. God builds his church through people who stand firm on the solid foundation of Christ, who pray, who are filled with the Spirit, who stand together in faith. This is how God built the early church, and this is still how God is building his church today. He's looking for men and women who will stand for him. No matter the opposition, we must stand for God so that he can shine through us. So it's vitally important to me that you understand that you will face opposition in life as you surrender your life to Christ. The enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to do everything possible to oppose you and hinder you from coming to faith in Christ. I remember my own moment of salvation, February 29th, 1992. And what it looked like when I came back. Sometimes we decide to follow Christ and people just don't understand us anymore. Just like I had that experience with the one girl that wanted me to shoot tequila. But when we come back, sometimes we have an experience with God and we're trying to live for God and trying to do the right thing and read the word and go to church. And we're still going to fall under opposition because people don't understand. They'll still look at you as the old man. What are you doing? And you try to speak life into their situation and they don't want to receive it at all because they're still thinking that you're the old man. But we have to continue to live our lives regardless of that. Continue to profess Christ. Continue to profess the word boldly. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today to press past any opposition that you might imagine in your life. Peter and John left everything to follow Jesus, and once Jesus became their foundation, God used them to do mighty things that have literally impacted millions of lives. Two men. When you surrender your life to Christ, not only will he forgive you, but he will also give you a new purpose for living and begin to use your life to advance his kingdom. After you make a decision to give your life to Christ, we stand with both feet firmly planted on Jesus, right? That foundation, that cornerstone. And as you stand on the rock of Christ, be committed to praying, reading God's word, the Bible, right? As you pray to God and follow his word, he will give you strength. He will give you direction. He will give you peace to make it through any challenge that you face. He helped Peter and John, and he will help you. And not only will he help you, but he will shine brightly through your life and use you to impact your family, your friends, your coworkers. He will use you to be salt and light to the world around you. Does anybody here want to be salt and light to impact their world around them? Okay. Does anybody want to impact the world around them? Oh my word! Yes, right? I know it's scary to raise your hand, isn't it? I know, it's cold too. God will do a miracle through you. He will impact your world. You just need to submit to him and allow him to do that work through you. Every day for the rest of our lives, we will face circumstances and situations where we have to choose whether we will stand for Christ, just like Peter and John. They had every reason in the world not to stand for Christ. They were in prison, threatened, their lives in danger, but they chose to stand. And God did powerful things in and through their lives. They were bright lights for Jesus. God wants you to be a bright light for Jesus. At work, stand firm in your faith. At school, stand firm in your faith. In your families, stand firm in your faith. In the face of opposition, adversity, when all hell is breaking loose, stand firm in your faith. God is faithful and wants us to be a light everywhere we go. Remember that when we stand firm in our faith, God's light shines brightly through us. So before I close this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond if you want to. Two reasons. First, I just want to give an opportunity for those that might feel that they're wavering in their faith. You know, when God says, fear not, trust in me, and you have doubts. He says, Jesus has overcome the world, and he will help you overcome whatever you're facing. To stand firm in Christ today, God is with you. You're not alone. We all face challenges, and together God wants us to stand firm, to obey him, to grow in him, and to let him shine through our lives. And so if that's you, if you feel like you're wavering in your faith and you're struggling today, why don't you come forward and allow me to pray with you today? And secondly, as we're waiting for those that might want to respond, if there's anybody that has never committed their lives to Christ, I want you to know today that Jesus wants to be the cornerstone of your life. He died on the cross and rose again because so that you could trust him with your life. And he did all that because he loves you. He wants to forgive you and be the cornerstone of your life. And so I'll just give an opportunity. If you just need prayer, you feel like your faith is wavering and you're having a struggle today, be bold for Christ and stand for him and come forward. But if you want to begin that journey with him today, I invite you forward too. So let's just have a few moments of silence as we wait for God's Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you today, oh God, that your presence is surely here. I give you thanks, Lord, for the authority that is given us as Christians, O God, to come against any attack of the enemy, O God. And as the enemy of our souls seeks to destroy those that are committed to you, O God, I continue to pray, Lord, your protection over them. We pray the blood of Christ over each and every one that is gathered in this place today, O God, that they would be able to stand in the strength of your Holy Spirit, God. I'm thankful, God, that you have given us the ability to discern spirits, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, and to recognize those things that are not of you. Continue to fill these people with that Holy Spirit, O God, so that they're able to do that and walk in light and not in darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you are our strength. You are the lifter of our head, that you are our encouragement, God. That you are a strong tower, O God, and the word tells us that the righteous run to you and are safe. Thank you, Lord, that we can continue to run to you each and every day, that you are our rescuer, you are our redeemer, you are our savior, you are our friend. But God, more than anything, we call upon the name of Jesus as our cornerstone, the foundation of everything that we believe. Build us, O God, from the bottom up. Let us stand firm upon that, God, and let us build on something that is solid and that is faithful. Let us not be people that are in sinking sand, O God, building upon things that have no eternal value or no eternal worth, but God, continuing to come back to the foundation, that cornerstone. Thank you, Lord, that when we come up against opposition, God, that you are our strength, that we need to be filled with your word, O God, to be able to speak life into any situation, God. I thank you, Lord, that you can continually renew our minds and bring us forward in the things of God, that we are not defined but by what we have done, by our schooling, by our jobs, anything, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be bold for you. Thank you, Lord, that you are no respecter of persons, oh God, so that no matter who we are, that you can use us. Such is the miracle, God, that through your power that you can enable us to speak boldly for the cause of Christ. So I pray your blessing upon these people as they go today, oh God. May they have divine opportunities to be able to pour out your love upon others today, oh God, and this the week that is coming. And God, may they continually to profess boldly the faith that you have instilled in their hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.